Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Prosecutors are making their briefs, as well as the president's legal defense team, ahead of the impeachment proceedings that are going to be held next week in Washington in the Senate. We now have live on the news line with us Professor Alan Dershowitz of Harvard, who has been announced as one member of the president's legal defense team. And Professor Dershowitz, thanks for joining us today.
Well, thank you. I'm playing a limited role in the defense. I'm only going to make the argument, the constitutional argument, against the articles of impeachment. It's an important role because that's a central issue in the case. But I'm not going to be part of the strategic defense team. I'm not going to be involved in the issue of witnesses or calling. I'm not going to get deeply involved in the facts. I'm going to really be an advocate against impeachment based on the Constitution.
So what does that mean? You're not going to be part of the legal defense team. Are you acting as the president's lawyer in this case?
I am acting as a lawyer on the president's side of the impeachment issue, but I'm not a full-fledged member of the team in the sense that I'm not participating in strategic decisions. I'm not getting involved in the facts. I've done this before in other cases where I've appeared in a limited capacity, focusing on my expertise. But I am an advocate. I am strongly opposed to the two articles of impeachment, and I will make a hopefully very strong argument against these two articles of impeachment. The beneficiary of those arguments will be President Trump. So definitely I'm on his side, but it would be misleading to think of me as somebody like Jay Sekulow or Pat Spione or some of the others who are organizing and directing the whole defense. That's not the role I've agreed to perform.
But what distinguishes you from the law professors who testified in the House impeachment proceedings as witnesses? Are you more akin to
a witness?
I'm not a witness at all.
No, I'm not a witness. I'm an advocate. I will advocate a position. I will strongly try to support the case that's being made by the president's lawyers against impeachment. I am not neutral on that issue. I am neutral politically. I would be making exactly the same argument if Hillary Clinton had been elected and were impeached. I made similar arguments when Bill Clinton was impeached. And I actually also made some arguments in the media and as a board member of the ACLU when Nixon was impeached. So I've maintained a consistent position over the past half century, which is a lot more than I can say for some of my friends and colleagues who don't seem to pass the shoe on the other foot test. For them, it depends on whether it's a Democrat or a Republican who's being impeached. For me, I'm a liberal Democrat. I voted against Trump. I voted for Hillary Clinton. But I don't allow my partisan interests to outweigh my constitutional analysis.
Is the Trump defense going to be that a president withholding military aid and pressing for a favor from Ukraine is not an abuse of power?
Well, that's going to be a part of the defense. I think the defense will also be that he didn't do it, but I'm not involved in that part of it. My defense is that an abuse of power is not an impeachable offense. That is, the framers thought about abuse of power as a possible criteria. They did not put it in the Constitution. And so abuse of power is simply not an impeachable offense, nor is obstruction of Congress. That's the main thrust of my argument.
If the president continues to not allow administration officials to testify in the Senate trial and does not produce documents that have been requested, isn't that, I hesitate to say proof, but doesn't that indicate that there is obstruction of Congress?
No, that's the president's right, that all presidents have that right to demand that the legislature go to court. And if the court ordered the president to produce something and he refused to produce it, that would be very different. But Alexander Hamilton in Federalist 78 said the courts are set up to be umpires between the executive and the legislative branch. So if there's a conflict, if the executive branch says, no, we're not going to respond to your subpoenas, we think there unlawful. We think they violate the executive privilege. And the legislative branch says, no, you have to comply with the subpoena. The legislative branch doesn't willy-nilly win. They have to go to court and get the court to rule in their favor. Let me give you an example. John Bolton. John Bolton should not be compelled to testify because he had privileged communications with the president, presumably in the Oval Office, about national security matters. It's hard to imagine anything that comes more clearly within the executive privilege than that. Now, he may have to answer questions. What's your name? What did you do previously? But when it comes to what did you and the president discuss about the Ukraine or other national security issues, the president has the right to invoke privilege there. And then the courts have to make the decision. So, no, it's not an obstruction of Congress for the president to invoke separation of powers and checks and balances. That's his right as president, as head of the executive branch.
The Government Accountability Office has said that a law was broken in the act of withholding the aid from Ukraine. That is part of the fact pattern that has been alleged under the abuse of power charges. If a crime was committed, isn't that impeachable?
No, first of all, it wasn't alleged because it just happened. So it's not part of the impeachment. Second, the GAO is simply dead wrong. They got it absolutely backwards. What they said, and I think I'm paraphrasing or coming close to quoting, they said the president has no authority to substitute his policies for that of Congress. No, the president is the foreign policy of the United States. It's Congress that has no authority to substitute its policies regarding foreign policy for that of the president. Let me give you an example. Let's assume that Congress authorized $1 billion for Cuba. And the president said, no, that's not my foreign policy. I think Cuba is an enemy, not a friend. I'm not going to give them one nickel under any circumstances. Any attempt to try to prevent the president from doing that would be unconstitutional. And if the statute applies to that kind of a situation, it too would be unconstitutional. So the GAO is totally wrong. And the reason it's wrong is because it's a congressional committee. It's basically set up by Congress. It always sides with Congress over the president. But in this case, it got it completely backwards.
Lev Parnas has made headlines with his interviews this week. I understand materials from Lev Parnas have been delivered to the Senate as part of the record. He has said that through Jay Sekulow, he got permission from the president for John Dowd, the president's former lawyer, to represent him. Does this potentially make Sekulow a witness and thus ineligible to act as a lawyer in this case?
It's not completely, first of all, not clear to me that any witnesses will be called. And so that wouldn't be the case. Normally, a person can't be a witness in front of a jury. In an impeachment proceeding, it may be very different. I doubt in the end that Sekulow will be disqualified from being a lawyer. He's a very good lawyer and an invaluable lawyer for the president. What I also doubt is that Parnas will ever be called as a witness. He's a deeply flawed witness under indictment, and most prosecutors would never dream of calling a witness like that and support their credibility. Now, he may be called to produce documents. Documents often are self-proven. So that may happen, but I don't think he'll be called and his credibility vouched for.
We are running short on time. What will be your activities in the next few days as you prepare for your argument, and when do you anticipate delivering it?
I anticipate delivering it on Friday. I've been working very hard, reading all the congressional debates or reading all the history of how the impeachment provisions got into the Constitution and why there's no abuse of power or obstruction of Congress as criteria for impeachment. I'll be ready not only to present my argument, but to answer any questions put to me by senators or other lawyers.
And as the president's lawyer, I take it that you are subject to attorney-client privilege with him.
Well, it's not clear whether my role involves that. I mean, we've not had any conversation, so it's a moot issue. We've not had any conversations about the merits of the case. So right now, there would be no lawyer-client privilege to invoke. I have no real intention of becoming involved in the details of the case, and there's no reason for me to have to talk to the president about my constitutional arguments. He knows what they are. He's read them in my books and articles. He's seen them on television. Nothing I say will be secret or based on any confidential communications.
Professor Alan Dershowitz of Harvard Law School, we could speak all afternoon, but we really appreciate your taking the time to speak with us.
Thank you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.